It's Sunday morning, July 24th.
One month until my birthday. I'll be 29.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today.
Yes.
And that your spirit would flow, your strength would flow, your life would flow, and that we would hear your truth. Hear your truth, Lord. That it would become part of us. Not just register in the brain, but become part of us by your spirit. Amen.
As I thought of Pablo's situation and what he had been through this morning, I thought of the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
So we have a promise, and all of the promises are sure. And the Word of God is sure and true.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good passage of Scripture. Of course, a lot of them, but anyway, all passages are good.
That's true. Well, it's kind of funny because I was looking up something else today, and and I wound up stopping at 1 Peter. So, in 1 Peter 1, and it was kind of under the same thing, I think, that you're saying. And I'll just read my top caption says, "Praise to God for a living hope." Okay. And I'll just read it if that's okay. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And that made me think of so many things. Okay. There are so many people that are going through so many things. I mean, Charlie had cancer. Susan had cancer. Curtis has a bad back that constantly is a bad back. You know, Brittany's got a few conditions. Charlotte, Pablo, you know, go all around. I mean, there is so much. And yet, this is like an everlasting promise going, I'm really sorry that you're going to have some trials, but man, the end result is so much better.
Right.
And it just made me think back because, I mean, I didn't get a great report. I have to, they think my knee might not have been put on properly, or it's coming apart. And I'm going to have to go through some tests. The lady who does PT for me for my breast cancer said, I am afraid to tell you, you're probably always going to have this pain. And she's real nice. She's a Christian. We have great talks. But the harsh reality is we live on this rotten earth. Because it's not meant to be a happy place. But we can still be happy in the Lord. And I'm going to choose to be happy. Even though I may hurt, I may feel not great, I may take it out on but he's got big shoulders.
That's the Lord.
Yeah, he's got somebody bigger in front of him. So I'm just saying to almost be encouraged. I mean, it's not like I want people to go through trials, but let's be encouraged that God has a really much, much better place at the end result. And through this, I almost took this like, I'm really sorry that you guys have to do this, but you live here. You know, now, I didn't hear any options at birth that there was other places to live, but we live on earth, and this is where we are. So it's like God just telling me, you know, it may not be perfect, but it's okay. And you're going to make it, and you're going to be fine. So there you have.
And it is quite reassuring, that the Scripture spells out the kinds of things that we are going through. And that, boy, we can rejoice and be happy in that because of the glorious thing that is going to be occurring here on the other side.
Yeah.
It is so good, so good, just so good.
I like the verse where it says, this inheritance is kept for you in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kept for us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, we've got something, you know. I'm going to get there and it's going to be like a Cracker Jack box. Okay, I simplify things. Digging through, and this is my prize.
I would imagine heaven to be more like a fresh and open box of chicken and biscuits. A cracker box on the side. Crackers occasionally and chicken and biscuits. Delicious, yeah. Though. And good. And God is good. Therefore, God had his hand on chicken and biscuits.
God cares for me.
Well, we have a lot of different types of churches and a lot of theories and a lot of theology. But to my knowledge, there's only one scripture setting that actually tells us how a church service should be conducted. And it's in a place where a lot of people don't even want to read. It's in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And because it has to do with the spiritual gifts and the spiritual application that where Paul or let's see. Yeah, Paul. Paul wrote it. And churches that are not open to the gift ministries usually avoid this chapter. As a matter of fact, there was a time when I did. But that was because I was listening to other people who did. And I have learned since that the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is one of the most profound chapters anywhere in the Bible. And there's a lot of them, but that is a profound chapter. But it says, how is it, brethren, when you come together? It doesn't say you have a minister, or you have a leader, or you have whatever. But it says you come together. One has this, one has that, one has this, one has that. It labels a number of things, but it's not a complete picture. And we begin to see, it talks about having prophets, or what is the word?
Prophets.
Everything. To prophesy, like prophecies. Is that what you're talking about? But he who prophesies speaks.
It's in 1 Corinthians 14.
On there.
He that prophesies. Yeah, a prophet.
But he who prophesies.
And because we have had the wrong concept of what a prophet is, we have thought it fits a number of things, but we've thought of people who predict the future, or who, as a prophet. And that's not exactly what the word prophet means. I mean, it means a number of things, but one of them is somebody that edifies, exhorts, and comforts. He edifies, exhorts, and comforts. And what we have discovered, and it's been about 20 years of a lot of discovery, is that the Word of God is true. It is sure. What it says is what it is. You know, what God said is what He meant. And what we need to do is understand what He meant by what He said. And that's the revelation of truth. We had a meeting on Tuesday night, and as I look back on it, I saw it as one of the most profound meetings that we have ever had. And it was taped. And it was especially geared to somebody that the first person I ever witnessed to, and his wife. And there's Scott and Bonnie Hartley. And they may hear this, I don't know. But anyway, absolute sweethearts. And I was in charge. No, I wasn't. They were in charge of a certain thing in the Lutheran church we were in. And I had just got filled with the Holy Spirit, with a phenomenal experience. And I hadn't had a chance to talk to him, but I volunteered to help him. And it's like if the one that's the best help is the one that's the busiest. And I was busy. And I went over to their house, and I was telling them about what had happened. And then we were trying to talk about the stewardship drive. This is what they were in charge of. And after a while, Scott said, "We might as well forget about the stewardship drive. Why don't you tell us what happened?" And so that was the beginning of a major thing. Well, anyway, he called. Oh, maybe a week and a half ago or 2 weeks. And him and his wife, and they said they knew what had happened, you know, through the scriptures. And so they asked me, they said, have you had any new revelations? Anything else that has come? And of course we have. But you know what? Not being where we have been, not experiencing been in the same place, I was hesitant to tell them exactly what happened. And I felt rotten after that. I felt bad because I thought, these are my friends. God gave us a couple of phenomenal revelations. And it would be an injustice to not share it with them. And so we purposely shared some things on Tuesday night. And I think it was one of the most phenomenal things that we've ever had. And I think we need to pursue that. And even some more, along the same line.
I thought it was real good too. It's good to have a statement of faith. That's not exactly getting at it, but it is good to spell out and articulate whatever your beliefs at times. The saying of them gets them, makes them more solid, or it just has a good effect. I think good to say it and good to hear what other people have to say. I agree. It was just was excellent.
Yeah.
I think now is more the time that we need to share, rather than sit back. I mean, no one knows the time or the date or anything. I mean, we've heard this for 100 years. I mean, but that's just it. We don't know. And we should be asking for the gifts of the Spirit. We should be seeking the gifts of the Spirit. We should be using the gifts of the Spirit. And, and I think part of that is just being totally upfront with people, in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying in-your-face thing. I'm just saying to share, what's in our hearts rather than, gee, it would have been nice to say that. Too bad I didn't, and they walk out and get hit by a bus. Okay, I mean, I'm picturing the worst thing here. But it was your chance to do something, and I'm terrible at it because I like to go, okay, God, if you could just send a little message to me to let me know that maybe this is the right thing I should be doing, and then we'll both know. He doesn't have time for that. I mean, he's been dealing with me for a long time, and he goes, I know you want a letter, I know you want confirmation, I know you want, because this is my MO with him. We have a really good relationship, but I'm just saying, it's time now that we have to just kind of stand up, for our whatever. I mean, look at what's on TV. I mean, there are all these words that you could never say, unless you got beat up by your brother for saying them, that they now say on TV. There is nothing, the world is kind of yucky. Mm-hmm. And I think now is the time to, I want to say, I don't want to get in anybody's face. That's certainly not what I mean. You can say it with a loving heart, Like I said, even my physical therapist, I just
shared with her that I was a Christian, and she's like, "Oh, you are," you know, because she is. And so we can talk about God, or we can talk about religious things, or we can, you know, I mean, and it's okay. You just, if I hadn't said anything, she would have never known. Because in professional worlds, you can't say, I can't go up and ask somebody, are you a Christian? I can just tell them that I'm a Christian, and they can do with it what they want. Does that make any sense?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I needed somebody to tell me. So, get off your butt, people. God's calling us.
I think there, it does, kind of, once you really had to kind of work up your courage,
oh, yeah,
whenever, you know, and step out boldly.
Transport my letter from God.
And I think it just is becoming a little more in the way of just a natural part of the way that your life transpires.
Yeah.
And, when the occasion comes, you just say what you have to say with that, and it's, in some kind of sense, not a super big deal, you know, it's just kind of what you do, and I think it's going to be true more and more as the
become natural.
Yeah.
As the conversation has to be natural with their lives.
Yeah.
And sharing naturally, okay, it's easy.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you know. Mm-hmm.
It says we're supposed to let our light shine and be ready at all times to give an account of our reason and hope. So if we're ready and our light is shining.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to poo-poo it, that's their thing. You know?
Sure. For sure.
But, you know, you said in their face. I think we're way past in life.
I know.
Back in the olden days, it was like, whoa. But nowadays, it's 2022. From what I hear, I don't watch any news, but from what I hear, anything goes now. So if I want to be in love with a bunny, I get the freedom to express it. So if I am in love with Jesus, I also get the freedom to express it. And I shouldn't be afraid to let my light shine because everybody else that's doing something that is not according to the word of God is letting their light shine into what they're doing.
Yeah, but
it's not acceptable.
It is. You can be in love with the bunny, but they still want church church and state separate.
Right, so and you know,
yeah.
I don't have to answer to them, you know, and I wouldn't go in your face to anybody. However,
what about any bunny?
Probably. However, I am at the point that I've lived my life, I've done my things. I don't now, because I know what the Lord has done for me, even being a Christian my whole life, the Lord has still dealt with me and done his work in me. And continues. I want everyone to know of, if he's got grace for Candy Gunn, he has grace for anybody. And how I live my life and how I exemplify and am as a witness to trusting the Lord. And, you know, Pablo reminded me years ago that it rains on the just and the unjust. We're all going to go through it. But if I can go through it and show that I'm trusting the Lord, that I won't get burnt through that fire, then anybody can, you know. And just letting your light shine, it draws people. And I wouldn't go into anybody's face, per se. However, if I knew that the next day they were going to get hit by a bus and I wasn't really sure where their eternal, just maybe by their fruits I was judging that, you know, the Bible says, you know, you can kind of tell. So if I knew that, whatever, you better believe I'd be in their face. Because it's a desperation. And so we all have to live. We have no idea. An hour from now is not promised to one of us. Well, maybe we'll still be here in an hour, but it's still. So, you know what I mean? But now, if every everything goes and everything's acceptable, then so is my belief in the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, along this line, though, I think we, most of us have testified in the, over the last X number of years that God has provided opportunities for us to let our light shine. God's light in us shine. And it occurs to me that that seems to be happening more and more. I'm sure part of that is because as we work to walk closer with God, God is closer with us. And He is using that. And there have been situations in the past, I don't think anything would have come of it, whereas later in life and later with God, it means that I have said things or started conversations that I wouldn't have, but I do now, partly because I'm better grounded, and partly because I think I've opened my heart up to God, and He's filling it a little bit more. So I don't know that I'm worried that we have to, you know, I try to wonder, you know, and this is my battle, but God will put the people in my path because He knows where my path is, and He'll find a way if He wants me to do something. It's not like I'm going to go down and chase and tackle somebody, you know. The flip side is, though, if you knew, then God's giving you that as well.
That's what I'm saying. If they're in your path, that's your responsibility. But people also have, Lord, put them in my path, and then also give me the letter, give me the prompt. Hey, they're in your path. There's your prompt. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean that you pass everyone in Walmart and just start talking to them, you know. But if you have the opportunity, don't wonder, is this the opportunity? That's the opportunity. If you have to question, that's the opportunity.
And I guess my testimony is that I have noticed the more people have been put in my path, which I take as a sign that God is working in my life. And from what I hear, Sunday to Sunday, working in all of yours, which is the hope and the motivation I need to keep me striving. Because it's not returning empty.
And as the days pass, I think it will become more and more common, more and more natural. That's the place where we're dwelling, to make it clear where it is we dwell.
You know, I would hardly, what do you want to talk? Hey Lord, you know, help me out, help me be able to express myself, you know. But, you know, believe it or not, and I have talked to people, I have shared or whatever. But I'm glad, I am glad, that God kind of kept me a little bit, because I wasn't ready, I believe, I wasn't ready to share what I had to share. God has done a tremendous change in me in the last 3 months, that, not for sure, that he would not have been able to do without what happened to me. And he's done a tremendous work, and I feel at least more ready to be able to share. I used to have this thing, like, well, you know, they need to be like me, kinda, unless they become like me. But the thing is, like, no, oh my God, unless they become not like me, first of all, they don't have to do what I do, and they don't have to mimic my lifestyle. They have to mimic the lifestyle of Jesus. And anyways, I mean, here we are. We are simple humans. We are the simplest thing there is. There's nothing in us that makes us go to heaven. You know what I mean? It's God in us, but there's no behaviors, no where you were born, who you were born from. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, zero. But I am going to make it because I have the Lord. And that is exciting. That is great. That is awesome. That is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I have the Lord. So what happened to me? I am this rotten thing, and I'm still a rotten thing, but I have the Lord in me. Okay, so now that is good, that is awesome. So we shouldn't be ashamed, we shouldn't be waiting for a letter, we shouldn't be waiting for the next. I am excited that I am saved. I was saved by Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God. He saved me. And that is exciting. That's awesome. I want people to know about it. I want to tell people that it's available. You know what I mean? I'm not waiting for anything. You know, I'm not waiting for a, okay, go ahead. You know what I mean? No, I've been told to go ahead a long time ago. Now I have to go ahead. Okay, is it the work is done? I am saved. I mean, tell me a better thing. Tell me a more awesome thing. Tell me a greater thing, a greater miracle, a greater anything, anywhere, anything. Tell me, honestly, tell me. Is there a greater thing than having eternal life, not in this piece of junk world, but in the real world made by God, you know, this was made by God, but I have that. I have it. And it's priceless. It's priceless. Nobody has it. And I have a chance to tell you, hey, you want it? You can have it. That's it. You know, anyway. I mean, that's what we need to be able to see. It's like we don't realize how great it is, this thing that we have. We really, I mean, I've been a Christian or whatever you call it. I've been listening to scriptures for 20 plus years. And you think that I've realized things I haven't. I'm just realizing that I have this priceless information, capability of eternal life. I mean, just put the words eternal life in your head. It's like amazing. There's no greater thing than eternal life. Here we're striving to work or to do whatever so we can have a good one thing or another, so we can see whether it will last for a week or two or a month, a year or 10 years. Imagine eternal, eternal perfection, eternal glory, eternal amazingness, no tears, no sadness. That's what I have. I have it. And you have it. Now, isn't that enough? Don't you want to tell people? I want to. I tell people, hey, you know what I said? This stroke thing that happened to me is the greatest thing that happened to me. And before I tell them, I say, you don't think I'm crazy? It's fine, blah, blah, blah. This stroke is the greatest thing that happened to me. And then listen. And it is. Spiritually,
yes.
It is. And, you know, I want people to know it. People will know it. They will find out. I got the letter. I got the memo. I got the go for it. I got the everything. I have it. And I'm not waiting on God. Now God's waiting on me. It's the ball is in my side for me to play with it. Okay? God already kicked the ball. The ball is hit. So what are you going to do with the ball?
become more filled, the more and more filled, the less I have the world and the more of the Spirit. And I can't talk about anything else. You know, it's good to come to the point in time where I have nothing but Jesus in me. And then when, what can you talk about? It'll be so natural. It'll be, you'll be so full you can't help it.
Out of the abundance of the heart.
Yes.
Your mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what's in your heart. I can tell you in 10 minutes. Just get out, just talk for a little bit. What are we going to talk about? That's what's in your heart. I can tell you. You can tell what's in my heart. It's Jesus. 100%. So I can tell you what's in your heart. No time. I can tell you. You know, you can tell me what's in my heart. But it's listening to me. We go outside and, you know.
And what is he? He's joy.
Mm-hmm.
He's peace. He's love. And that's what we will have.
Mm-hmm.
We will have him.
Paul talks about us being living epistles,
yes,
read and known of all men. You know, that's, I think that's what we're saying this morning. And oh my, what a fine thing. Just a fine thing to be a living epistle, read and known of all men.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Jesus, and this guy's going to get offended. It's not right. So what? What are you going to do? Lock me up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we shouldn't be really in a place where people, okay, well, yeah, we can't talk about Jesus. Okay, so then we go stop themselves. I mean, where are you that you can't talk about Jesus where you are? You know what I mean? Just don't be there. I mean, we're not supposed to be there. Hey, if this is not good, then this offends you, let him depart, says the Bible. Or don't hang out with those people. You know, in other sites, yes, we hang out with the people. But if you're going to be offended, hey, I love Jesus. He gave me eternal life. Oh, well, that's offensive. What, really? Okay, be offended then. Next. Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Oh, really? Tell me more. It's not legal to talk about Jesus in here. Really? Then what? Then what are you going to do? Are you going to kick me out? Kick me out. You know, do whatever you want. You know, I'm not. I'm way faster, way faster. People say whatever they want. I don't care. I don't care. Jesus didn't care. Paul didn't care. He was locked up. He was locked up for speaking the name of Jesus. I'm afraid that I don't have to be there ever. But if that's the case, you know what? I will. I will.
Well, that'll be a seed planted for God to work on. It's up to him to grow the seed after he plants it. So somebody's offended. Well, they might be offended for a little bit, but if God does a work in them through that offense, they can grow into becoming a Christian.
I have been offended by the truth a number of times over the years, and it's not unusual for it to happen. Jesus said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate asked him, he says, what is truth? And the reason he said that is because we develop an idea of truth. And what we have to remember is make sure it's God's truth. Make sure it's a real thing. Because it might not be. As we were talking, I was thinking of my wife. And her, you know, frequent visits over to Walmart or in different places. And there were times that I was embarrassed by her. And it wasn't her fault, it was mine. And There was also some other times that we're walking through Walmart and some, usually a woman, would stop her and she'd say, "Aren't you the one that prayed for me a couple of years ago or something?" And I couldn't, I didn't know about it. And Joanne, a couple of times, I didn't even remember. And anyway, and she says, "I was healed." Mm. And she was just really excited. And of course, so we, I was a stranger to the thing, but how did it happen? Joanne overheard her talking, and she was in pain, or that she was going up for an operation, or whatever it was. And Joanne would seldom, if ever, hesitate to say, "Well, let me pray for you." And that kind of gives you the picture of who she was, you know what I mean? And, you know, if she was a Christian, she would be praying for her. But, and people were healed there. You know, not everybody, but a lot of people were healed. And it doesn't necessarily say that everybody's going to be healed that we pray for. But it says in the book of James, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. That's what it says. And we have seen a lot of that. And the thing is, that if you want to see people healed, you pray for them. And if they are still in your way, pray for them again.
You know, I think the Holy Spirit is there regardless of
that. Oh, yeah.
And if they are, they're going to find the Holy Spirit appealing.
Yeah.
You got to be real bothered by it, but, you know. You're going to find it appealing, feel good. Remember back on that and think, gee, I like the feeling that that created. And boy, if you, what a fine opportunity we have to leave people with that sense. Gee, I felt good when that happened. You know, that's just fine.
The closer that I've drawn to God, I've found my prayers changing from necessarily being a physical, like, body prayer to more of a spiritual healing. So maybe the healing that's occurring isn't going to be physical, but we're not the flesh and blood, but the spiritual side, and whether or not he immediately heals a broken leg or does that softening in their heart, which is a better victory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that I've learned from God in the last believe it or not, they are not for me to share with you guys, and that's it. It's not. Those things are for me to receive from God, to tell you guys about it, but to speak into the world, to speak into my non-church going people. That's where the need is. Because you guys are receiving the same stuff. You guys are learning the same stuff I'm learning. Even if we never see each other, we are all learning the same stuff. So taking those things and just giving them to one another, it's just passing the ball to one another. But the ball is to get out of it. The ball is to, you know, church. Yeah, come and say to the church, but the non-church is where it's needed a lot.
Okay. That's right.
And that's one big mistake I made for years and years. What I've learned is for me to tell you guys, no doubt, I love the guys' things. But it's more so to tell the non-church, the non-salutation fellowship guys, the other people. If not, it's, that doesn't even make sense, really. That doesn't even make then to get stuff from God and let your light shine. What does that mean? It means you can let it shine inside a church or any building. Let it shine means wherever you go, if you are a shining light, you're going to be noticeable. And you're going to be seen. And that's what Jesus wants. Not tomorrow, when he's ready. No, everything is ready. We need to stop waiting. It's just the light needs to shine. And let's do it. Let's do this. You know what I mean? There's no, as soon as the light starts shining. No, let your light shine. No, it was written 2,000 years ago. Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys, let your light shine. You have a light. It's on, but it's covered up. And you know what? I want to tell me. It's on, but it's covered up. Take the mantle out of your light, and your light is bright. It's bright, 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 bright. It bothers my eyes. It's not good for my eyes. It hurts my eyes. That's how bright it is. It shines in the day. It shines in the night. It shines. And you know what? It's ready. It's ready. There's no more waiting. It's ready to go and put it to work. You know, the work is done. The work is done. And there's more work to be done. But in order for us to go and let our light shine, it's ready. It's ready. Oh my God, it's so ready. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Well, you need to shine more. Oh, yeah, you need to shine more, but there's plenty of light already. Plenty.
If every interaction we have with other people either invites them to think or react to how we're acting, can you imagine if you're walking through Walmart and just smile at everybody? Just everybody, grumpy, happy, you know them, you don't, you just smile at everybody, what happens? Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, what the heck? But then they smile, mm-hmm. you know, or they've got a problem, but they're thinking, why are you smiling? And that's the, just think about Jesus and all the things and whatever they've got going on. Oof, I feel bad, smile. And that changes that, and there's your light. And that makes a big difference. It's really fun to smile genuinely at crabby people. Mm-hmm. It's so much more fun than being like, well, back at you. It's so much fun to just be like, oh my, I'm so sorry you're feeling that way. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kind of reminds me of when I was working. There was one of the salesmen that would come in every morning and he'd be grumpy and it'd take him a couple hours in the morning to get going. And I made sure every morning I said, good morning, how are you today? Mm-hmm. I did that for a long time and finally he took me aside and said, how come you're so happy all the time? Mm-hmm. And we became great friends. Uh-huh. We did, because I didn't give in to any grumpiness. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I loved doing it.
Sometimes if you can see that as an advance of the devil, or like that person's got some demonic thing bugging them that they don't have the power to overcome, then you see it more like a cute little church mouse trying to scare you, you know? And you just interact with that so like, I feel bad that you're feeling that way, you know? And with a genuine love, that's got to spark and grow some. It's easier, though, to react that way when you see it as they're hurting.
What to the top of the scripture go? It says, be always ready to tell people what is the reason of your joy, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, always be ready to tell, you know what? I gotta be honest. If like yesterday, I didn't feel like telling nobody about how happy I was, because I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't. That's hard. I did that before, I wasn't feeling good. I didn't feel like telling anybody anything good. Mm-hmm. Just leave me alone and I'd sleep or something.
gotta fake it till you make it or something. I don't know if I'm quoting it right. You know, like you gotta just keep whatever till it becomes something. And you know, I've told Bobby that before. And especially, I am a smile person. I would hug every single person in Walmart and smile at them. I might be having my period. I might have had my toe cut off. But I'm a people person, and I like to hug people and talk to people. That's just how I am. Now, some days I might be having a bad day, but I will still smile, you know, whatever. But sometimes I might be having a not-so-good day or be stressed about something, but I see somebody else, and they look like they could use a smile, and then I smile, and then suddenly that joy that pretty much is in there with me bubbling then comes out. And now I've given out a, you know, and I, through the pandemic and everybody with the masks and nobody wanted to look at it, whatever, that was really hard. I never really went that many places. But that was really hard for me because I'm a smiler and I like to see people's faces, and people would walk past, oh, excuse me. I'm like, oh my God. I had the same amount of germs 2 weeks ago, you know, but it was hard. And now people are opening up and smiling. And it's like, I might look at somebody like this, and they catch my eye, and I smile big. They have no idea what I might be anxious about at that moment, whatever. But I smile big, and then they kind of stop, and then they smile big. And then now I just received their big smile to refill my cup of life, you know. But predominantly, I am a people person, and so I like to smile and give out joy, not out of my perfection, just that's my personality. But I find that on the days that I don't feel it so much and I still get it, all of a sudden it becomes true and my joy is restored.
1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one about that.
It is, because I quote it to him often. We have to be ready at all times. So what does that mean? Be ready at all times for every single person that's in your path. If they're in your path, be ready. Be ready, because you're going to be letting your light shine, and then they're going to say, why is your light shining so bright? And they're not going to say it like that. But it's,
Yeah, you have to, it also says, okay, be ready at all times to give, count, whatever, of the joy. And so that at all times you have to be, like, showing joy.
Correct.
Even when you're not feeling
right.
The hope.
That's
right. So, like, even in that hard part, you got to have that. So I know there's a lot of times that I'm walking around, nobody would be like, why are you so happy? Because they wouldn't look like that. So I have to conduct myself always in a way that would make people want to know why I'm hopeful. That's a hard one.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like just always be ready, even through the faking it till you make it. Just, yep.
One of my favorite scriptures is, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
It just always comes to mind.
Yes.
You know, it's a big difference, my dad talking now. Like the 1 hour of church we have a week, comparing it to like yesterday or the day before. I mean, yesterday, he didn't even want to look at me. He was so tired, you know. And I almost need to record him a video and show him talking at church for when he's down in the dumps, laying on his bed, you know, with my mom praying to him all day. You know, I don't know. When we pray, we just need to pray that my dad can just be given the strength, you know, and just be reminded of his Sunday church testimonies, that he does have it in him to talk, you know, and he just needs to have that in him all day, every day, not just on Sundays. You know.
Well, he has it during the week. If he runs into anybody, he can talk. If he talks Bible or scripture, I don't know what happened. You know, Jill talked to him the other day. I don't know. And he talked to some people. He wasn't feeling as good on the day we went to the chiropractor, and we stopped. We went into, I don't know, the family fair in Lake Wissota. I think that's the store. Family fair? I don't know. We went to the chiropractor, and then we ran in there really quick. And as we were getting out of the car, you know, he was going to go in there with the chiropractor. You know, it's kind of, he's got heaviness and whatever. And we ran into some people that go to a different church that have been friends with us for a while. And as soon as Pablo saw him, he was like, Corey! And he stopped him right in the driveway of, like, where you drive your car right in front of the front door. And we got out and, oh, Pablo, yeah. We talked to him for, like, I don't even know, 10, 15 minutes in people's way. And Pablo, he was just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. So it is, you know, Eli doesn't witness during the week. If we see anybody or he talks Bible, I'm not sure what happens to the pain or the discomfort, but it goes away. And so I keep telling them, I just need to make appointments for people to come talk, share with him, him share. All day long, he sits, you know, he drives the golf cart, he sits outside. He's available right now between, you know, physical therapy. He's available. And if he talks, it's gone. I watched him last week with his physical therapist. He was choosing to reassess because they had been 8 more visits, and he was kind of down, you know, kind of like down. And by the end of the visit, you know, he was like, and you know, Brenda, you know, if people would just get on their face before the Lord, blah, blah, and all of a sudden he was talking, and she was just looking, because she's a Christian too, but she just looked at him, and she literally watched him go from, it was kind of painful to do the arm things, and then whatever, but then he sat in his kind of whatever, and then, do you have any plans for the weekend? No, no, no. And then as soon as he started quoting the Bible and scriptures and people need to something, you know, and then I'm just watching him like, So it is, and Barb, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you said that, it made Felicity smile because I have a pillow in the living room. But I say to all the kids, and I when I say it, I'm saying it to myself too, but I tell my kids in public through everything. Sometimes, 20 times a day, I just look at him and go, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Kind of like an annoying reminder, but I have to do it to myself, you know, because without that, I'm nothing, you know. So the joy of the Lord has to be our strength, because otherwise we're all human and flesh and gross and yucky and failing.
And I'm filled with the Spirit, so I'm filled with the joy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're filled, yeah, what's in you?
And if you give someone joy and encouragement when you don't feel joy and encouragement and you give it out, you're giving of the Lord anyways, because we are nothing. But you give it out to the Lord will honor that through your feeling like crap or disappointed or anxious or sad. Whatever you're feeling, you give joy and encouragement to somebody else, the Lord will refill your cup to keep giving out to somebody else. And then he will keep us sustained. Because we're not supposed to hold it all in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
So I told Pablo, I said, you know, the more that you hold it in, the moldy, yeah, it's the Lord, but it's going to get moldy in there. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Yeah. You know, since my dad's stroke, whatever, this is adding on to what I was saying. Like, since, I mean, before his stroke, you know, I mean, we worked, we talked about fishing, you know, we talked about outside and whatever. And since his stroke, I mean, he's 100% different. I mean, there's nothing he cares about, you know, and after his stroke, I'm like, man, my dad doesn't, he's going to forget me. You know, that's what I thought the first week. He doesn't, he's going to know my name, but nothing was embedded in my dad besides his faith and his love for God, you know. I mean, I know, this is where I take it as, you know, I talk about work and fishing, and he doesn't care. I mean, he'll listen to me, but I know that, I mean, it's tremendous to see that after his stroke, that's the only thing he cares about, you know, and that's what he always wanted to focus on. But, I mean, we're in these Facebook tile groups, and he left those. I'm guessing he left the fishing pages that he was in. Because it is just a distraction. A distraction from God, you know. And I should follow in his path. You know, but it's obviously hard, you know, but he's the best example I could have as someone who I want to be and how I want to act. You know, besides my kind of over there. But you know.
Love you all.